We try to be a man of peace, but somehow or other we seem only to foment discord. Let me read you a proof of that. This is a clipping from the Seattle, Washington Post-Intelligencer. It seems as if a Mrs. John McGuire of Olympia, Washington, wrote to the TV editor of this paper with this problem. Please, could you do something about changing Bishop Sheen's TV time? It comes on at the same time as the cavalcade of sports, which my husband wants to see. He gets his way. And in the meantime, a good program is lost forever from Bishop Sheen, and we fight and don't speak the rest of the evening. Now, he sees the cavalcade of sports, which is a fight program, and he fights with his wife. How many fights does he want a night? This is rather a difficult problem. I knew of a family that had a problem like it. They had a tiny little dog, and everybody wanted to play with the dog at once. So they exchanged it for a dachshund, so the whole family could pet it at once. Maybe the solution of the problem is for her to pray for a quick knockout, and then he'll turn over to our program. See, he has a trainer in his corner, and she has an angel in hers. But we'll try to make up for it. We will send to Mrs. McGuire a copy of all of the telecasts that she missed. This is the telecast of 2 years ago, and this is the telecast of last year. And we'll send both of these volumes so she'll get along well with her husband. And maybe the final solution might be inasmuch as Lent is coming on, for him to give up the fights, for her to give up Bishop Sheen, and both listen to Milton Berle. Well, we told you last week where we were going to speak on the crises of the world, not from a political or economic point of view, but rather profoundly, in terms of has Christianity failed? That, of course, all depends upon what you mean by Christianity. There are certain types of Christianity that definitely have failed. And among those types, we will mention three forms of Christianity. The first is called the pink pill Christianity. The pink pill Christianity is one that substitutes a clinic for an altar, that gives an emotional glow, that analyzes and inspires, but it never saves. It attempts always to give some kind of psychological thrill without in any way touching the soul of a man. Then in addition to the pink pill Christianity, there is also ambulance Christianity. Ambulance Christianity runs after certain sick movements that need a bit of artificial respiration. For example, it gets behind art, science, the United Nations. There are some believers in ambulance Christianity who identify, for example, the kingdom of God with the defense of labor unions. And others identify the kingdom of God with capitalism. Finally, there is what is known as rumba Christianity. Now, I had to find out how to dance the rumba. I'm told that you move only from the hips down. Is that right? Well, if that is it, that's a very good explanation of a certain type of weak Christianity. Because the head does not move, nor the rest of the body, that means that there is considerable action without any thinking and without any deep sentiments of love. This is a kind of Christianity where if you write a nice article, or you produce a good movie, or you play a very good game of golf, you're supposed to be profoundly Christian. Now, these types of Christianity have failed, no doubt about it. And when Chesterton was once told that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, Chesterton's answer was, "It has been found hard, but not tried." I wonder if that's the real answer. It may really be that Christianity has been found easy and not tried. It's too easy. And the modern man is looking for something that demands sacrifice and a little discipline. Gives him something so sublime that he might die for it. Presents to him an evil that ought to be despised. Such a sin. And simply because there's been a weak kind of Christianity that's identified with psychology and science and sociology. There's been a terrific void in the world due to the loss of faith. And the world cannot live in a vacuum. So it fills it up. And there's been a filling up of this void in two different ways. The emptiness has been filled up one way by the Western world. And another way by communism. First of all, the Western world. The Western world has filled up the vacuum by the individual man entering inside of himself. It used to be, during the days of faith, that men lived in a great and tremendous universe. A universe of three dimensions. A universe in which, for example, there was heaven and hell, and in between, the earth, in which man had to initiate and was given a moment of time in order to say aye or nay to his eternal destiny. Men moved out of this great universe. They moved inside of themselves, inside of their own head. That's like a human modern head. And heaven has become the superego. This has become what the Freudians call the id. And the earth is the ego. The result is that man is living inside of himself. He's almost like a serpent devouring his own tail. The modern man has a scalpel in his hand. And he's constantly probing, digging at his own wounds without ever finding a healing. He's like one that is shot with bullets and feels that he can cure himself if he analyzes the bullet in order to discover if it was shot by Oedipus or by Electra. The modern man is like a ship that is beginning to sink. And he believes that if he makes an analysis of the water to determine its chemical constituents and origins, that he will thereby save the ship of self from sinking. Man's soul was meant to be like a cup. Cup lifted skyward. When it was raised by that voluntary act of man, God could fill it. Today this cup is upside down. Man has shut out everything else, a great environment of faith and divinity. He cannot fill the cup. Not even God can fill it. And he closes out the rest of the universe. And the modern poet has expressed this inversion, this passion for self-analysis, in these words which very well describe our modern man. I saw a creature. Naked. Bestial. Squatting on the desert. With his heart in his hand. And as he ate of it, I said, "Is it good, friend?" He answered, "It is bitter. Bitter. But I like it. Because it is bitter. And because it is my heart." Queer way of filling up the void and the emptiness that has come from loss of faith in our modern world. But it's not the only way. The communists have another answer. While in the Western world man turns inside of himself, the communists would have humanity turn back upon itself. And the communists say to the men of the Western world, "You are discontented with your liberty. You talk of it. But you do not want it. And the reason you do not want it is because freedom implies choice, and choice implies responsibility. And you want to escape responsibility. That is what we do for you. You give us your freedom. Surrender your choice. So that from this point on there is no conscience but state conscience. No voice but party voice. No morality but totalitarian morality. You feel miserable, anxious, and fearful. You feel chaotic. We will organize all of this chaos of yours into a collectivity. For our socialism is nothing but the forcible organization of the chaos of your individual lives. And we will call this new party, this new mass, this collectivity. That is our God. And that is why we have to persecute. We have to. Because if you say you have a soul, then there's a part of you that does not belong to the state. Then there is a part of you that we cannot touch. So militant atheism is part of our program. And this is the way we fill up the void of the world. Those are the two answers of the world today. Are they hopeless? Should we despair? By no means despair. There is hope for both. First of all, there is hope for the modern man. When the modern man goes down into the depths of his soul, he is in search of something. And what he is in search for is actually the limits of experience. He wants the extremes of living. And there he discovers that there are two extremes, either acceptance of God or defiance of God. He either there in the depths of his soul confronts God or he affronts him. One or the other. It is possible, as the Jewish Talmud said, to cry out of the depth. De profundis clamaviate Domine. And this despair that the modern man has can be creative. Just as sickness can be creative when one sends for a physician. When the Western man says, "I am hopeless," and then he looks for help, he is saved. He is not lost. This is not a despairing condition that our Western man is in. We are familiar, of course, with white grace, or the presence of God in the soul. But remember, there is also black grace. And
black race is the absence of God in the soul, or from the soul. And this loneliness, this fear, this anxiety, this terrific sense of isolation that he feels, this black race is really the finger of God stirring him unto uneasiness. So that if he does not come to divine beauty by standing on mountaintops, he can discover it out of the depths of his soul. As he hears in the language of Thompson, God speaking to him and saying, poor, piteous, futile thing, why should any set thee love apart? Seeing none but I make much of naught, he said. And human love need human meriting, and how hast thou merited? Of all man's clotted clay, the dingiest clot. Alas, thou knowest not how little worthy of any love thou art. For whom wilt thou find to love ignoble thee? Save me. Save only. And if there's hope for the Western man, there is hope also for the communist. I know. You say he's an atheist? Well, how many kinds of atheism are there? There are two kinds of atheism. One is the bourgeois atheism of the Western world, and the other is communist atheism. Bourgeois atheism is a denial of God based upon reading 15 pages of a comparative religion, reading some popularization of science, living under the illusion that one has read Darwin's Origin of Species, and a pretty good spicing of bad behavior. That is bourgeois atheism. Now, communist atheism is not of that kind at all. Communist atheism does not deny God. Communist atheism challenges God. The atheism of communism is an experience of God. Whence comes the fire, the militancy, the persecution, the hate, the violence of the communists against those who believe in God, if it be not the reality of God himself? Why these communists are not wasting their times on phantoms and ghosts and centaurs? They are witnessing by the very intensity and impetuosity of their hate to the reality of that which they deny with their own lips. As one of our missionary workers in China was telling me, who was in prison for about 2.5 years. Communist guard would let her out to the prison yard by opening the door just a few inches. She would have to scratch herself. She wormed her way out. And he would spit in her face every day. One day she said to him, thanks. Coming back a little while later into her cell, he said, why did you say thanks? She said, because now I know how our Lord felt when he was spat upon. And the communist guard opened the cell door wide to let her in. And she noticed that the tears
were streaming down his cheeks. And the revelation that he had received was the salt of her own righteous tears. We're witnessing to her own joy.
This is the crisis of our modern world, and it can be summarized, everything that we've said, in terms of life. I wish I had a match, but it's not necessary. Don't bother. If I had a match, I would light it here, and you can visualize two products. One product of all fire is light, and the other product is heat. In the mind, the light corresponds to truth, the heat corresponds to love. The two were always meant to go together. That is to say, when we had a certain truth, we were to love that truth. And the two are always equal. The Son and the Spirit are equal. But it happens in our modern world. There is a great and a tremendous divorce. A divorce between light and heat. Our Western world has the truth. The Hebraic Christian tradition in all of its fullness. But we have not the heat, the fire, the love, the enthusiasm. We have grown cold, sterile almost. The communists have fire. They have zeal. They have passion. They have a spirit of sacrifice. They're willing to surround the earth with their thinkers and their propagandists. They're burning with their philosophy. What a pity that the two are not together. Will they be together? Or will the light find the heat? Or the heat the light? It is my guess that communism, Russia, rather, will find the truth. Because God can do something with fire and passion, as he did with the fleshy passion of a Magdalene and the hate of a Paul. And when finally Russia discovers that truth with all of the fire and all of the zeal that it has, it will sweep over the Eastern world. And then we will know that Christianity has not failed.